KST Mission Retreat Media presents the Gospel. Gospel to save all who believe. This talk was delivered by Dr. Tenaku at the NKST Mission Retreat National Conference 2020 on the topic, The Christian and Emerging Health Concerns. May God bless these words on your heart in Jesus' name.
I know we have a lot to discuss on this topic, so I don't want to go into spending time or spending unnecessary time because I think there will be issues that we need to discuss at length. Because when it comes to issues like this, people are interested in looking at how your environment affects you, affects your Christian life, affects your growth, and in all dimensions. We are here on earth to survive, and along the way, we are facing challenges that sometimes we begin to ask ourselves, why? However, some of these whys that are around us, and we know them. But we just fine-tune our minds towards looking at the emerging health challenges we are facing as Christians, and indeed the entire world. And God will help us to link this thing with the scriptures and look at how we can walk through this life despite the difficult times and terrains. And I think along the way, there may be some projections over there for you to have a look. I have just 1 hour to go through, so let me just go to it direct. We are looking at emerging and re-emerging diseases or health challenges that Christians may face. I have a presentation outline which I'm not sure it is shown there, but what is the definitions, what's the background and the history of outbreaks, and the current status and other emerging threats that are around us, then international health regulation, how it affects trade and agriculture that relates to human existence, and of course, relatively to our health. Then we know that we can always link, you know, we build our lives, especially in sciences, we build our lives on theories around us. Why is this thing happening here? Why is it not happening the same elsewhere? And why is it taking this dimension? Why is it not going the way we expect? So we may look at some theories that we can factor into this kind of emerging trend of, and then we can conclude. That is the presentation outline that I have. Now, emerging diseases, when you say something is emerging, it is ongoing. And of course, there are some diseases that we can say they have been with us for long, for years, but we still refer to them as emerging. We refer to them because they are ongoing. They have the potential to cause health hazards or health challenges, even epidemics. And among these things, we can talk of SARS, the COVID that is going on now, and then the HIV, AIDS, tuberculosis, the other viruses that have come and maybe gone within our period. We talk of re-emerging because we are thinking of those ones that we have already done away with. We have claimed that we have put them aside because other immunization has improved, and then we have completely eradicated them, and suddenly one day other factors will come that will bring them back, maybe in the full range and force against us, that we begin to wonder why this thing has happened to us. Then that is what we talk about re-emerging. They are reappearing back and causing harm to us. And of course, we have others we can say that are silent killer diseases. And amongst us, we know that we have things like diabetes, we have hypertension and the rest. Those ones could also be classified among the emerging diseases. The mode of spread of diseases generally, or health challenges, they have factors that link them up to begin to give us those kind of challenges. Many of them are airborne. Some of them are from droplets. When you talk, maybe through saliva or you sneeze in the environment, droplets. Sometimes if you sneeze, when you cover your bare hands, let me, it's not a good practice, I'm just showing you. You notice that there's some droplets as you sneeze. Those droplet infections can hang in the air for some time. And people who are around within a particular range of few meters from you could also inhale them or pick them up. such diseases such as SARS and tuberculosis, that is very, it's a long companion of man. You know, when I was a child, I started hearing of tuberculosis wards, especially with the mission hospitals. And you can imagine that 40 years back, some of you were not born. This TB is still with us. So you can imagine that some of the health challenges we're meeting have stayed with us for long. I will begin to ask why they are not out of the environment by now. Imagine malaria. Look at leprosy. Leprosy that has been mentioned in the scriptures. In those days, even before Christ came, we still talk about leprosy in some of our communities. Then we talk about some that spread through direct contact. You know, when you shake hands, or when you rub body, or even when you use somebody's clothes who may have it. Similar ways of contact. Ebola that came in recent time. Then some that can spread with the use of, you know, if you put, just put your hand on this, on an object, or even an object that is on the ground where blood drops. Some of the viruses or organisms can persist there for some time. And then if somebody else comes in contact with it, the person who has dropped it, the main source has dropped it and left. But they will persist in that environment. Somebody else will come and take it from there. We take our inanimate objects, such as things like hepatitis, HIV, can transmit through those means. Then we also talk of another mode of transmission or factors that favor diseases in the emerging and re-emerging circumstances, like lifestyle modification. We know that diabetes could come out because of the way you eat. You eat excessively. You have appetite that you cannot control. And some people have the tendency to be obese, and yet they combine these two lifestyles. No exercise, eat a lot, just like that. So few may be linked to familiar, you know, families, history of families. There is occurrence of diabetes within this family. So lifestyle modification can also affect. When you take alcohol, take other drinks that have high sugar, you know, those things can come up. Environment, we know of global warming. This is one major factor that has been linked to many epidemics that are going on now. Issues of global warming. We talk of things are changing along the way. You can notice that they used to be the last rains, I think in October or so. I think this year we never saw such rains. Global warming is changing around most of the things within our environment. The heat, the exposure, the rate of civilization, and the way engines are developed without control of the environment, proper environmental engineering. We know that we are weak. Our government is very weak in control of such processes. This can give rise to global warming. Poor health-seeking behavior. Many of us sitting here, maybe the whole of 2020, we never went to check our blood pressure. We never went to check even our sugar level. We never went to the hospital to do, you know, general check on our own to see where we are going. How is your system functioning? Oh, what you know is that since you wake up, you are okay, you have finished that day, the day you cross the next day, you take it that you are okay. Meanwhile, certain things, changes will be going on in the system. That goes to do with poor health behavior, seeking behavior. The natural disasters, of course, some of them are coming from environments that also relate to climate change or to some extent. Issues of flood coming in, bringing in diseases. For the first time, we noticed something in Benue State when we documented the first case of Lassa fever. It was in 2012 flood. When the flood came in Benue, that was when, immediately after the flood, that was when we registered the case of Lassa fever. Other, in the past few years, we've only been suspecting, but no laboratory confirmation. But from that time on to date, that thing has become part of our endemic disease in the state. Man-made disasters. Now, we develop things like biological weapons in order to show other countries that, you know, I'm above you. I can develop something in the lab. Even the issue of COVID has been linked to some things like that. We are in this kind of environment where man is changing the environment to suit what he wants, but sometimes to the detriment of others. And unfortunately, he will also suffer it. So those kind of things are coming up. Then resistance and new strains or diseases coming up. We know that even malaria is becoming resistant. We have abandoned chloroquine, though some people still feel that it still helps them. But it's both because the long-term disease of malaria has now resisted the conventional chloroquine tablets. Now we see that even this current epidemic or pandemic, we have heard of the new strain of the COVID that has come that is more devastating than the former one that we knew. And we have zoonotic infections. These ones are the ones that cross from animals to man. And we know that things like the plague, the Marburg, even the Lassa fever, they do have their descent from zoonotic infections. The issue about our environment generally in summary is also that there is globalization, emergence and spread of diseases. Because of population increase, massive urbanization, new towns and settlement coming up with their new technology and new risk. These technologies are coming with risk and increase international travel. In fact, somebody once described this statement that I quote. He said there's nothing more international than the spread of disease. What he meant was that if someone is in Nigeria today, by tomorrow, about this time, he will be in America. Or even in some countries, in the next 6 hours, he will be in other countries. You travel or international travel has become so much, has increased in dimension that when someone picks a disease here or is nursing a disease here, before you know it, it will manifest in another country. So globalization, massive urbanization, new technology, traveling with international flights has become a very quick source of spread of disease. There has been increase in the travel rate. If you had the opportunity of looking at this slide, you will look at the rate at which from 1950 to 2000. We have gone beyond 2000 now. Oh, so we're still within 2000, but you look at where we are going. Look at the rate of international travel that we have made within this short period. And this is one thing that passengers of international airlines have been, they have been doing over time. When they moved from the first case that was reported of the COVID in China, how long did it take for us to report it in Nigeria here? You know, within months. But before then, it was spreading from one country to another. Because of international travel, most of these things came to us. This has also increased trade and agriculture. This is one thing that man is highly dependent on. And if you remember in Genesis, God has given us that we will depend, we will farm, we'll till the ground. Agriculture has gone more international. Like I mentioned something about issue of technology. We have gone beyond the subsistence agriculture to more refined way of doing things. But trade is going along with it. People move from here because of economic reasons to travel to different parts of the country and different parts of the world. So the rate of travel combined or for the purpose of agriculture and trade has also been on the increase from 1950 to date. That is what this graph is trying to talk about. Now, some of the historical basis of some of these epidemics and pandemics that have occurred. If you look at maybe the next one, that's talked about Pamelonic Plague that happened sometime in 1994 in India. And you may look at this figure initially to be very little. But then, in 1994, that looks like a huge figure. This kind of diseases had occurred and they had spread along the same route as I mentioned, international travel and other borders, maybe land borders, sea, as well as by air travel. Ebola, within what time? Within a month when Ebola was reported in Democratic Republic of Congo. Before we knew it, it was in Lagos. It was air travel. And within a short time, we saw this thing happen. In 1995, we reported cases of this nature. And what you are looking at, the number of cases and death, if you look at the the closeness between the cases and the death. They're almost like, you know, if you calculate the difference, 250 over 315, you look at what you call case fatality of 79. That means 79% of people that got infected with that disease died. That is what he's trying to say. SARS had emerged in 2003 before now in Hong Kong, Singapore, and Toronto. And we know that what we are experiencing today, as I said, is a new strain of the same re-emerging diseases. Marburg occurred with a viral infection. It occurred in Angola in 2005. These diseases that I'm mentioning, I say historical basis, is because they have the tendency to come back. If you look at what is known as integrated disease surveillance and response for this country, which is the list of diseases that Nigeria government has put to be tracking them, which within the 43 of them, now have gone to 45. Nigeria has classified them, some of them as epidemic prone. Some of them are diseases of control. And then some of them as diseases that we can only watch for some time until we have enough resources to go ahead and control them. We notice that this, some of these diseases had occurred and they have the tendency to reoccur. And the conditions I have mentioned earlier are related to environment, related to our way of behavior and other things, international travel. Bird flu, otherwise known as H5N1, had occurred since 2003. And up to today, few countries are still reporting cases of bird flu. And that is one of the reasons why you see checkpoints. If you remember in North Bank, there is an agricultural checkpoint that checks birds and also other animals that cross from one state to another. They have quarantine services and they have people that enforce these services for the states within the country. And I think it's across the country. We also remember something called swine flu. It came within the short period of the bird flu. And this contributed to the change in the perception of public health. And we noticed that there has been interaction between what is called public health and economic activity, like I have mentioned before. While the link is just that, trade is increasing, agriculture is increasing, travels are increasing. While these things are increasing, diseases are also increasing along the side. That is what it is. Risk communication, how you tell people about these diseases and how they believe and how they don't believe. Like I'm saying, after today, maybe even some of us sitting here, we don't even believe that COVID exists. Some people say it's a political issue. Then I ask someone, unless you die from it before you know it exists, or your relation dies from it before you know it exists, or you think they are fabricating diagnoses because they don't know where we are heading to, it's not really like that. Issue of risk recommendation has been a major challenge for control process in the country and fire. In the whole health sector. Intersectoral collaboration. This would mean that not just health is not just an issue of Minister of Health. It's not just an issue of Minister of Agriculture. All the ministries, all sectors, including church organization, must put things together to ensure that we control them or checkmate them. Then, of course, what is called international regulation. In the next few slides, we'll look at what is known as international health regulation. The ongoing diseases or global health challenges. Right now, as we are talking about, we have reported about 82,000 cases of COVID. Please, that is not global, it's Nigeria. Nigeria has reported, okay, in globally 82 million. Then Nigeria has reported 86,576 as at the time I was inputting this, with about 1,278 deaths from this ongoing or current diseases that we are talking about. Then we notice that Ebola is still ongoing in Democratic Republic of Congo, Liberia, Sierra Leone, and then, of course, Guinea had also declared Ebola free, but suddenly it reoccurred within the same country. Of course, a new variant of a neurological illness is a virus that attacks the nerves and destroys it, has been reported in the United Kingdom. and it is transmitted by ingestion of food, the food that you eat. So when food is contaminated, it can also cause pandemics or epidemics, as well as in the United States of America, hepatitis A outbreak has been reported. And of course, we have the tendency that even those organisms that were in our body, initially we called them as commensals, we say that they are not harmful to the body. Now they are becoming harmful. The question is why? The new variants are coming out from those diseases or organizations that initially we consider them not to be harmful but useful to the human body. So E. coli has become more or less one of the major killers, even in the environment. Staphylococcus aureus is one of the bacteria that you see commonly in our local labs. If you take urine there, take anything there, I think what you likely see is staph. You know, it is now becoming more virulent than the staph that we used to hear about. We begin to see that these strains of organisms are changing, and the cause, of course, may not be far-fetched. I listed some of these things. I say resistant strain. They are becoming more resistant to the conventional drugs that we're using. And of course, tuberculosis, a new, apart from what we call this TB that we call not the ordinary one again, we are now receiving cases of tuberculosis, which has become resistant to multiple drugs that we used to treat it, and it's becoming endemic. This has been reported in New York. And the reasons for this emergence and re-emergence, I have said, are human activities that are driven by the knowledge of the various emerging viruses, and it could be said that the global situation favors this disease emergence, and we may be faced with more outbreaks. Now, I mentioned something about international health regulation. This is just a copy of what that book looks like. It is an international health regulation that was formed in 1969 as a result of, you know, okay, we are migrating from the version of 1969 to the version of 2005. And the history of this book coming up is because of the spread of diseases across countries. And one will ask, what is the history of this international health regulation? Cholera outbreak occurred in Europe as far back as 1830. And it became a source of concern to France. Then there was this meeting that came up in 1951. Some member states came together and declared what they call international sanitary regulation, which are procedures put in place to ensure that countries contribute. Each country. Now, when something happens in one country, don't leave that country with that problem alone. Because the tendency is that if you leave it because it is their own problem, the next day you see it in your own environment. And if he too says it is no longer his problem, it's your own, that is how it will keep killing people. So they came together to put together a document in which they signed and agreed that they will be cooperating and helping themselves. When anytime there is an epidemic or a disease outbreak like that, they will always come together, put their resources together, human, financial, and other things, to curtail that disease at the point of the source of it, so that it is not allowed to spread. Because you have less resources controlling that source than allowing it to spread, and then you start fighting or falling into it. Yellow fever occurred, smallpox, relapsing fever, cholera and plague occurred. And we are told that this country suffered a lot from this. Then, these same diseases, after control, they resurged. So, this same cholera that I mentioned in 1860-something, in 1990, resurged in Europe. And also more in America, South America, include as well as the plague. And the World Health Assembly now came together. And they agreed that they would put together some resolutions to help countries and member states who join them, who become members, just like we have associations. The World Health Assembly then met together and they mandated that they will be helping themselves to curtail this disease outbreak by developing capacity of all the countries who have agreed to that, who have made pencil their signature in that agreement. and that they'll be communicating to themselves. If I have a threat in my country, I will quickly notify the next country. Be on alert, I'm having an issue like this. You see, this is one of the reasons why human minds are a bit wicked sometimes. Some countries can hide some of the epidemics that is going on within them. They will try to protect so-called their image so that their trade and agriculture will not suffer because they are making a lot of money from it. But then this international health regulation says if you notice that, notify your neighbor quickly so that he will be on alert. Even if trade and agriculture stops at that time, within a short time, he can recover. But at least you can save a lot of lives. So this was the basis for this international health regulation, which came up in 1969, following the outbreak of cholera, plague, and other diseases. Then there were about six diseases, but the World Health Organization had recommended only about three to be notified. But later they saw that there was a challenge selecting diseases for notification and others for not notifying WHO. So later they had to now, adjust or amend that document from 1969, what it was saying, to the current one of 2005. So international health regulation in 2005 brings community together, the whole world community together, those who have agreed to move together, to agree on international law that helps countries to work together to save lives and livelihood caused by international spread of diseases. The aim is to protect, prevent, and control and respond to such diseases immediately. And you saw a picture there, it's not there, but at least I have mentioned land borders, air travel, and seaports. So the world community have had a consensus agreement on this, and are moving forward with that document in place. So now, if Nigeria has a threat, they are bound by law from signing that document to report immediately. And because of that, Nigeria has a focal person in this country that reports all diseases of international concern to World Health Assembly. If you don't report, and another country finds out and reports you, then you'll be sanctioned. So some of these things are ways of trying to protect the integrity of countries as well as ensuring that they keep to the law. So the major changes that have occurred from that document on 1969 to 2005 is the issue of notification and the issue of getting the focal person who will be reporting this to World Health Organization. And then, of course, developing capacity for countries to pick these things quick and also recommend measures. So we have this document in place and it is working, because we are part and parcel of this agreement. And then the next thing I want us to look at is what these countries have agreed, and I want us to note. From the International Health Regulation, it is said that we ought to pass health information to people. This is one of the forums we can also pass health information. Another thing is that we should do basic self-examination. If you know that you have a disease of interest, what's the point hiding to say because you have an international connection and you want to go out for trade, you go there quickly and do it. You have vaccination that before you travel to other countries, you must take them. Especially things like yellow fever. So all these things are what the document is talking about. Now, if we link this to our faith and the belief that we have about these emerging diseases, I believe that somebody has proposed a theory, which he has also said in that theory that COVID-19 could have come, or God would have allowed it to happen. One of the reasons may be to humble the world, so that the world will not see themselves as I'm a powerful country above any other country. Look at what is happening in America over COVID. Some of the countries that looks like no country at all, God has done it in such a way that we have registered or recorded less death compared to America. But I know there are some reasons we can deduce to that. But the important thing is that let every country know that I'm not a super word for nothing. God can humble you even at your knees. At the same time, people should make sure they should recognize themselves that they are all humans. No matter the level of placement you are in the society and the least person in the community. God has brought this disease could have been also to make people see that we are all equal. Another thing somebody has proposed is that it will make humanity more righteous. Because we remember the history of plagues in Egypt and what God has told us in the scriptures. And in Deuteronomy also has been mentioned. Maybe if you are privileged to have this thing, you can see some quotations that we have made. Those diseases that God was referring us to, if you don't worship me, if you run away from me, if you are no longer keeping to my commandment, I will bring those diseases that I get people in Egypt and they will devastate you. So it is for us to also learn that humanity needs to be righteous. We need to come back to God. And then another reason may also be that God wants to convey his own power and sovereignty on human beings. To show the world that if God has not allowed it, it would not have come. So many theories have been proposed, and we know that yes, it is possible that COVID could have come to achieve this, even in the lives of men, and also across the globe. So if we turn away from, and God was saying that if man turns away from him, Satan will take over. And then, of course, Satan will be helping all wrongdoers do the wrong things. Remember the issue about biological warfare. And only God can stop Satan in doing this. So somebody, one Sadiq, said that to save humanity, people have to become more righteous. And this, he has said that God could have been punishing mankind with coronavirus according to religious conspiracy theorists who believe that humanity has lost its way. We have lost our way in following God. So God has brought in something that looks strange to remind us about what happened in Egypt and his promise to us that if we leave him, then he can revisit this kind of disease back on us. In Exodus chapter 7, Exodus 7 to 12, there are a lot of lists of plagues that have happened, and we need to look at that. Whether you call this thing plagues, or signs and wonders, or miracles, or as the name we connote, in the present dispensation, we are calling illnesses, pandemics, or whatever thing. The important thing is that they are playing around the same thing. God is achieving something by allowing these things to happen to humanity. In Deuteronomy 28, we also can see that verses 59 to 60. He says, and the Lord will overwhelm both of you and your offspring with severe and lasting afflictions and grievous and lasting maladies. He will bring back upon you all the diseases of Egypt, of which you were in dread, and they shall cling to you. But if we now recognize God as our creator, and also know how we can humble ourselves and also relate with man in order to honor God, God has said in Deuteronomy 7:15 that the Lord will turn away from you every illness, all the dreaded diseases of Egypt that you experience. He will not inflict on you, but he will lay them on all who hate him. So the world may have deviated, but God has a way of bringing us back. That could be a theory that someone is trying to propose and also establish his facts. So, I gave example of people who suffer some of these diseases, but I think we can jump that. We can also try to bring this thing back. In COVID, in conclusion, COVID-19 has suddenly made us to realize that we are not alone in this world, isn't it? And through social distances, we are even more aware of others and even our neighbors. So now, people who never recognize that somebody is there for him, they now go for you because they are in dread of this disease. So some of these things, when we see them happen, it only makes us to recall that we could have left our path in relating with God for too long. And then in 2 Chronicles 7:14, The Bible tells us how we can return to God. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn away from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will also heal their land. Our land is so devastated by this virus, devastated by epidemics and pandemics, has also been threatened by both natural and human disasters. So what lesson can we learn? As we pass through it, let's say in this last year, 2020, what has come to your mind? Has that made you to look, you know, retreat and look at how you have fared between you and God? And many people who have come down and who have had this kind of experience will tell you that the disease, in fact, there's no disease that someone can say is better than the other. Someone was saying he didn't know that headache can be so troubling. Somebody who had stomach ache said, no, stomach, I think he said, I think headache is better than stomach pain. Based on the various experiences. But the truth is that pandemics have come. They have taught us their own lesson. Our health system is not good enough to contain it. And why is it that even our health system cannot contain it? Because when it comes in with mass casualty, you can never really comprehend it. But the truth is that the only way out of this calamity is that humanity must come back to God. Let's begin to recognize our neighbors as humans. Let's see them as also being part of life. And then God will begin to see and respect the way and manner in which we are relating with Him. May God help us to begin to see this life as God Himself has made it to be so. May God help us in Jesus' name. But just to summarize it in TV, because I think we have our audience in that order, I want to akangachi kahachi onye ahumbe ka to angen bi aningla mi flefe na ha o na rikwa ikwa wa na rafati ozuwa na angen bo chishege na ikoza ko yoku o shi alwo tema hijiru kasha e umbo heje o gene na rafati oba tema che to angen bula o gene dia ka ko hinya alwe awambo ha hinya mongu angen bula chege na ba HIV ba hepatitis na ha pa chi covid ne alwe uha utaze chi te ho ta hinya COVID ya on do was say yo ika ave say give it out was na yangingi type shi ti yo una ta hinya una klango go na pe but ali gene in do hot shi yo una gba hinya ka alu he je ku ma yange ahalata o gene na ba ka he ko agba na to he ma na to ange mbra kwa na ye mami si ka ave say ta gene go gama ne shi no yango wolo va chova de he ge pa kala ko gama Nwolo njeme nyomi sembe bene bene. Nhene me wula wa no ke wolo chapue. Ba, se fata se nanga wula ko no ko wolo hapue laga. Ka ha chunye aka nga gema na humbe kwa nga gema ta kwa ngo gema aka. Pishi. Se se nange se. Yo pishi mpa klason do zan yo chi. Da nange mlu kalen mluve fa yo ve mlu ke alo mba ange keshi mba mi ngaga. Oke na gbate man so ina nyomelu ba ba kale yemeje choki na de na ga na ngwele ko aga kwa la ki do kumaga ika wo se behavior wo sala doga yele ya se hako checking yo ya sala doga ba se checking yo ya se fle fle chi aka gene nga alu happening kitane che gene ya ke ka be se che gbega ma ahumbe da va chi kwa ngu da va na ha nya bu chi chali gene ya ka na nga yele si ku mo mo wo ma chi ya che gene oke na nyo hin lab pa na da ke gbono na na e ke na na e ke e ka ki utia na na e ko ye baduka weapon o da na da ta o na ro ohun na ya awu ana wala se gena na wu ayo ya na gbona fati owu ana chaka gena won nyame kwa ba ange pisi e nyame hingiro na ve se fle fle yo ange bi pa mingi se ka se yo ba zane cha pisi ye menta bute ye menta lungun chaka handa gigi ngale Masha binda yange no kana luhe yange gen o kana lu jili gene kwane ngungen na ha yange kwangi zene na yomba kana ha o kana tonge he na yemami na na nyami ketalu gene ikra fafule gaye ba kanga chi ka gbende ange bulu zene sha jene chi je o se kwa ite se se ange bi gen be sembe va chi bi yen bi yambi wan wan ken bi wan go chi o mamba che kwa kwane ka nyo ke vene ika ave se akanga chi kwa yele fi bamba sebe sembe pa yelo fi ba se no o gbadi bo han yelo pe gbinje yon bo pe ko ala awon ola pele we yo ma angen bon bi hi chakba yelo fi ba ne pa zanza ka kuma che mbuva na ha ka ga chi nga zan he me ike ke ta wa so he gen ne angen bo sembe va ne ye covid ne ke ta ta che mbe bo e yo he gen kuma yelo 1,082,000,000 people na ha ke Nigeria he ne na sembe ko ka nyo million ga ba yo pe angen bon kuma dubu mon de ro ha mana kunda tan kala ni ni na ha angen bon e ka be so mo hidin bo vombo cho ho ane e ka ka nyi gola ada kola gama ada change ada fa e yangun va ve e control yo na he gena da ko kola gama e se kwa so hene kwa na ha ba nyi gola kwa ba hene no mo he na ha ke na ha ba da ve ha gbono gende la e ma ba va kwa ne tave kana ha ma sinenge kwa na ba ave bono sho ho ave aluwa ayo ko so olo hen ne kwa oge pa nguza he me e ka ebola ki tiali gen e ke West Africa tiangi chichachi ngiva aka nga chi tese itia i America United States kuma ku UK kela ke London kela ba yangi begin e bi duen i yira mbi ati koso koso ka ko so olo hen jene na ha i ka e itia ha wonchi yangi ba zuwa na ave ve want take dog gene la ve sign eh ve kange ve sign kwa e he gene aba hi no wase na yola ve alo angen bo hi hi ta yo ta lo o o report angen bla fele acho aza he fele ya ada be angen bla hi ji la akra dem bo embo du he la bu ningi chi ve mi mo gba wan yo mo wan yo he gene ga na ha ike mo take dane yengelo kinyo mi 1969 iba hi de solo ninge ke 2005 kan won so le to ma mi zanza hege ye take dan o tese se ye angen bi blue zanen shane alo na zuami yo alo Nigeria na han zuami ya ka ken ken da report kwala to World Health Organization na han take t
Amen.